Matthew chapter number 11. We have been discovering that there's a story that is unfolding in Matthew chapter number 11. As a matter of fact, it's a story that continues to unfold in the Gospel of Matthew and culminates at the end of the Gospel. It's a story about the rejection and the resistance against our Lord. And it culminates whenever our Lord is arrested and tried and beaten and crucified on the cross. But early on in our Lord's ministry, you just begin to see little glimpses of this story as it begins to sort of open up to us here in Matthew's gospel. If you start reading the New Testament, you'll read about our Lord coming into the world. That is in Matthew chapter 1 and 2. And then you begin to read about the beginning of his ministry with John the Baptist in Matthew 3 and about our Lord's temptation. And then the beginning of his preaching ministry in Matthew 4:17, he began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And then we're given that example of that great message that he preached in chapters 5 through 7, that Sermon on the Mount, and an example of the kind of preaching that our Lord did as he traveled around preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Great crowds of people gathering with him up in that mountain to hear the word of God being preached by our Savior. When he came down out of the mountain in chapter number 8 and 9, he'd perform miracle after miracle after miracle. And people were coming to him in great numbers. When he was in the city of Capernaum, he healed Peter's mother-in-law. By that evening, crowds of people gathered around that house, and some of them needed healing. Some of them needed deliverance from demons, and our Lord ministered to all of them and healed them all, the Bible tells us in chapter number 8. They were lepers that were cleansed. They were blind people that were now seeing. They are deaf people that are now hearing. They are dumb who are now speaking. There are those who were lame that are now walking and running. There are those who were dead that are now living. And all of that is recorded for us in chapters 8 and 9. And his popularity spread. People were coming to him, trying to just get near to him, just to touch the hem of his garment, and they would indeed be healed. It is quite a sight, the story of his popularity. And yet we find in chapter number 11, much to our surprise, that great prophet John the Baptist, the great forerunner that baptized our Lord in the Jordan River, and the great crowds of people went out to hear him speak, the one who's called himself the voice crying in the wilderness, that voice is now silenced in a prison. John the Baptist arrested, put into prison, and silenced. So we know that there's something going on early on. There's resistance mounting. And those cities where our Lord preached all of those messages and performed all of those miracles, that is, he names them, beginning in verse number 20. The Bible says he names three of them. There were many more, but he names three, and that is Chorazin and Bethsaida and then Capernaum, where all these miracles were performed and messages were preached. And the Bible tells us in verse number 20 that our Lord began to upbraid those cities where most of his mighty works were done. That is, he began to confront them and speak in a confrontational way with the citizens of these cities. And the reason why is because the Bible says that they repented not. That is, in spite of all the miracles that our Lord did, in spite of all the messages that he preached, they still would not repent. Let me remind you about what it is that our Lord commanded them to do when he told them to repent. And that is, repentance is when a person is brought to the point of brokenness over their sinful, lost condition and to the point of turning to Christ and believing and receiving him as Lord and Savior of their life. That turning from sin and turning to Christ is what repentance is, and it is the work of God that he does on the inside of a person's heart. That is, repentance is not something you do with your hands. It's not something you do with your feet, but it's something that takes place in your heart. When God deals with you and the truth of God gets a hold of you on the inside and it turns you towards the Savior and away from your lostness to believe and receive him as Lord of your life. And it's hard for us to imagine. And let me just remind you that while these people in these cities, Capernaum and Bethsaida and Chorazin, while they were amazed at what they saw, they had to be amazed at what they saw. They were amazed at what they saw when they seen all of these miracles. And no doubt, ladies and gentlemen, they were emotional about what they experienced. How could you not be? If you were to go into the city of Capernaum, people would tell you how amazing it was to see people being healed, people being delivered, the dead raised to life. You would see a tear trickle down their cheek, especially those whose loved ones have been impacted by the healing miracle of our Lord. They were amazed at what they saw. They were emotional about what they experienced, but they were not broken about their sin. And they were not believing or receiving Christ as the Lord of their life. They would not repent. You see, it's possible, isn't it? Apparently, it's possible to be around where the Lord is at, to be in the midst of where God is working, to be able to see the hand of God operating in people's lives, delivering them and setting them free. It's possible to be all around that and even right in the middle of it and still not be saved. That's what's going on here in these cities. Our Lord, ladies and gentlemen, has come to them, as it says about the city of Capernaum in verse 23. It's a city that was exalted to heaven because heaven came down to the city of Capernaum in the person of the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, demonstrating His deity, demonstrating His authority and the miracles that He did and the messages that He preached, but they would not repent. And therefore, our Lord is announcing condemnation upon these cities. That is, there is a message of condemnation when He announces to them in verse number 21, the divine woe. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. And here's the reason why. That is, this announcement rooted in the Old Testament is the announcement, ladies and gentlemen, of the judgment of God that is upon them. That is, the woe that we read about in the Old Testament where the prophets announced the judgment of God upon nations and upon people groups. Even so, our Lord is doing that as well. He's announcing that these are cities that are under the judgment of God. They are under condemnation. And you and I looked at that. We not only looked at the condemnation, but over the past few services, we've been noticing in this story that is unfolding the revelation. There's an emphasis on the revelation. And that is the reason why that these cities are under condemnation is because they would not repent in light of great revelation. And that is the reason why they're under such judgment is because revelation has come to them and they will not respond to it. That is, they will not turn to Christ. I preached to you a little bit about this revelation. Let me remind you for a few moments in case you might have forgotten what I've said to you already. That is, I spoke to you about what I call the principle concerning the revelation. Jesus talked about it in John 3, and that is, He laid out this principle for us, and that is, He tells us that He hasn't come to condemn, but to save. But those, ladies and gentlemen, who will not believe, that is, those who will believe are not condemned, but those who will not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Here's what brings this condemnation, and that is that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. That is, God has revealed Himself, and listen, folks, will not come to that revelation, will not yield to that revelation, will not respond to that revelation, but instead reject that revelation, and the reason why is so that they might continue on in their sin. They love their sin, they love the darkness, and therefore when the light of revelation comes to them, they want to turn away from it. That is, there's the principle concerning the revelation. And we also discovered there is what I call the presence of the revelation, and that is, the revelation of God is present not only in Capernaum, it is. The Son of God is among them, revealing Himself to them, and ladies and gentlemen, they are not responding to that revelation. But I tell you, the revelation of God is present today. I said to you, there is the light of conscience. That is, every person has this conscience built into us, ladies and gentlemen, that instinctively tells us that God must exist. There's also the light of creation. All around us in creation is the evidence that there is not only a God, but this God is all-powerful and all-wise. And then there is the light of Christ. And that is the greatest light of all is the revelation that has come to us in the person and work of Jesus Christ that I'll speak about in more in a few moments. That is, there is the presence of revelation. There is no one who has an excuse. That is, those who are lost. If you're here and you've never been born again, you have no excuse because you have all of this revelation in your life, all of this light that God has given to you. And those who will not repent in the face of such great revelation are under the greatest judgment. That is, God judges, ladies and gentlemen, God judges according to the amount of light that we reject. the judgment of God. And we see this here when you look at not only the principle concerning the revelation and the presence of the revelation, but we spend some time talking about the parallels about the revelation. That is, Jesus draws some parallels between various Old Testament cities and these New Testament cities that he's writing about beginning of verse number 20. That is, we discover that he compares Chorazin and Bethsaida, two New Testament cities, to Tyre and Sidon, two Old Testament pagan cities. And he says that, ladies and gentlemen, if the mighty works that had been done in Bethsaida and Chorazin had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. They would have repented in sackcloth and ashes. Oh, what a moment that must have been. That is, when the Jews that were living in Bethsaida and Chorazin, whenever Jesus said the pagan Gentiles that God destroyed centuries ago, those pagan Gentiles in Tyre and Sidon that God destroyed, why, if they would have had the revelation, the light, the truth, then seen the mighty works that you've seen, they would have repented. You won't, but they would have. And for that reason, listen, they are under greater judgment than Tyre and Sidon because of the amount of revelation that they've rejected. And then he talks about Capernaum, beginning verse number 23, and he says to Capernaum, listen, you've been exalted to heaven. And but you're going to be brought down to hell. And he tells them there and compares them to Sodom. And he says, if the mighty works that you have seen have been done in Sodom, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, God destroyed with fire and brimstone. If they would have seen the mighty works of God, those cities wouldn't have been destroyed. They would remain until this day, insinuating they would have repented if they would have seen the mighty works that that you have seen. Implying, ladies and gentlemen, that these folks in Capernaum are worse off in the day of judgment. There's more condemnation upon them than there is the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. The reason why? They have all this light, all this truth, and they still will not repent. All that Sodom and Gomorrah had, ladies and gentlemen, all they had was backslidden Lot to be a witness to them. And they've had the city of Capernaum's had the Son of God living right among them, performing all of these miracles. Light has been shining, revelation has been shining, and they still will not repent. There are these parallels about the revelation that our Lord draws in this passage of Scripture. We spend a little bit of time looking at those parallels, trying to discover what it is that God is trying to say to us as a result of that. And that is that we also are responsible, ladies and gentlemen, for the light that we have received as well, to respond to that light. I preached to you a little bit about the process for the revelation this past Sunday, beginning in verse number 25. Our Lord starts praying. Right in the middle of all of this speaking, he starts praying. Here's what he prayed. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Lord, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto the babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. That is, the Bible tells us here the process of revelation is found in two words, these things, in verse number 25. And these things, these two words, these things, ladies and gentlemen, are two words that summarize all that the Lord has done and all that the Lord has taught up through this point in Matthew's gospel. If you go back and you read the Sermon on the Mount, if you go back and read the messages that he preached and go back and read about all the miracles that he did, ladies and gentlemen, it's summed up in two words, these things. That is, he has been revealing himself, that is, the Lord has been revealing himself in all of these things. And then we spend some time talking about the perception of the revelation in verse number 25 and 26. And here's what I said to you, just to bring you up to date where we need to be tonight. And that is, the Bible says there that the Lord has hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto the babes. That is, those who are wise in this world, prudent in this world, ladies and gentlemen, they don't see the light that's shining, but it's the babes who see the light. Now, when he's talking about babes here, he's not talking about age, ladies and gentlemen. He's talking about humility. And that is, those who are humble enough to listen to our Lord teach and receive what he has to say, they're teachable and they're trusting. Two things that characterize babies that also characterize those, ladies and gentlemen, who received the message of our Lord and received him as Lord, they were teachable and they were trusting. They listened to what he had to say and believed it, and they rested their faith and trust in him like a little babe. There are some people that are just too smart to believe the Bible. They're just too prudent to put their trust in Jesus. And they will forever regret it. They will wish for all eternity that they could have been like a humble little child. And they would have listened and been taught. That they would have received and trusted in Him, in His work on the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, there are some who perceive the revelation, the babes, and there are many who did not perceive the revelation, the wise and the prudent. That is, we're learning a little bit about this revelation. I want you to notice with me not only the principle concerning the revelation, the presence of the revelation, the parallels about the revelation, the process for the revelation, the perception of the revelation, but think with me tonight about the person behind the revelation. Look at verse 27 again. All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father. Listen to this. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Notice with me here, the Bible tells us that the one who is doing the revealing here is the Son of God. He is, ladies and gentlemen, the one who is the source of God's revelation to humanity. It is indeed Himself. The Son has come, the Son of God has come to unfold the revelation of the Father. Everything that He's been revealing, that is everything our Lord has been preaching, all the miracles that He's been doing, all that He's been saying, ladies and gentlemen, is the revelation of the Father that is being given through the Son. It's the revelation of God, the unfolding of the divine revelation, and Jesus is the source of that revelation. Remember back in verse 25, and I just tried to remind you that we looked at the little phrase, these things. And now in verse number 27, you start off with the word, all things. And listen to me now, these two phrases both are referring to the same revelation. As I said to you, these things refer to all that our Lord has revealed through His messages and miracles in the Gospel of Matthew. And we find that the all things in verse number 27 refers to the same revelation. Everything that Jesus has revealed through His messages and His miracles has come to Him from the Father. That is, it is the revelation of God. It is the Father's revelation being unfolded by the Son of God, for all who can perceive it, for all who can receive it, ladies and gentlemen. What I want you to see is that the divine revelation has come to us through the Son of God. Now, I've already referred to this a little bit when I said to you in another message that we have the light of conscience, that is this part of us on the inside that lets us know that God must exist. We have the light of creation that reveals to us that the God who exists must be all-wise and all-powerful. But then there is the light of Christ. That is the revelation of the Son of God. Now listen, the revelation of the Son of God is the revelation of God. It is the revelation of the Father. It is what God, you say, I wish God would speak to me. God is speaking through the Son of God. He is the source, and He is the one, ladies and gentlemen, the person behind the revelation. Let me just refer to some other verses. That is, John really wants us to know this in the Gospel of John. Over and over again in the Gospel of John, we learn that the revelation of God, the divine revelation, is being revealed by the Son of God. Now, this gets really important when I get to the end of this message, and you'll see it clearly. But listen to John chapter number 1 and verse number 18, for example. John 1:18, the Bible says, no man has seen God at any time. Listen to this now. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. He's the one who has revealed the Father. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot know anything about God apart from the Son. Now, this is really important because there are a lot of people groups and there are a lot of religious groups that are trying to teach a lot of things about who God is. But I'm going to say to you that those who, ladies and gentlemen, who are trying to teach anything about God apart from the revelation that Christ has given us, listen to me now, are simply not revealing the truth about God. You can't know anything about God, ladies and gentlemen, apart from the Son. You might know that there must be a God and He must be all-wise and all-powerful, but you don't know anything about God except what is given to us by the Son. You say, Pastor, I just go out into the nature and look around the woods and the caterpillars and the birds and the squirrels, and I learn about God. You learn a little bit about God, just a little bit, but if you really want to know God, really know God, listen to me now, you're going to have to know Him through the Son of God. Now, you need to get this nailed down, because those who rejected Christ do not know God. They say they do, but they do not. Denominations that, ladies and gentlemen, and religious groups that reject the person and work of Christ as revealed in Scripture cannot know God. And that's what our Lord is saying to us here in chapter number 3 and verse number 9. Listen to what it says in this conversation with Nicodemus when Jesus met with this man and told him he needed to be born again and talked about being born a second time. And Nicodemus was all confused about how he's going to be born a second time, go back into his mother's womb and be born again. And Jesus said, no, you got to be born of water, the physical birth, and of the Spirit, a spiritual birth. The water birth is visible. The spiritual birth is like the wind. It is invisible. You cannot see it. And so Nicodemus answered and said to him in verse 9, how can these things be? Nicodemus said, I don't understand how this can be, how this new birth is what you're even talking about. I don't understand this at all. And Jesus answered, and here's what He said, art thou a master of Israel, a teacher in Israel, and knowest not these things? I'm surprised, Nicodemus, that you don't know about this. Well, you're a leader and a teacher in Israel. Verily, verily, He said, I say unto thee, in verse number 11, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you receive not. Notice now, He's saying, I am telling you what I know and have seen, and you will not receive our witness. If I've told you earthly things and you believe not, talking about being born again, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Listen to this. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. In other words, the Son of God, ladies and gentlemen, has come down to reveal God to us. That's it. Nicodemus, he said, listen, you need to listen to what I'm saying to you, and you need to receive my witness. Listen to what I'm saying to you, because I am revealing to you what I've received from the Father in heaven. In John chapter number 3, beginning of verse number 31, he that cometh from above, the Lord Jesus is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And listen to this. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth. And no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God sent speaketh the words of God. Listen to this. He is speaking the one that God sent, the one who came from heaven. The Son of Man, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that He's sent to speak the words of God. For God giveth the Spirit to not the Spirit by measure unto Him. In other words, when the Lord came, He came to speak the very divine words. Every word that He spoke is indeed the divine word. It is His testimony or His witness or the words that He spoke that are the words of God. It is the revelation of the Father. Listen to John chapter number 5 and verse number 19. John 5, 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself, but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these do the Son likewise. And that is Jesus saying, everything that I do is what the Father's doing. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth, and He will show Him greater works than these that you may marvel. Verse number 21. For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom He. Well, He's talking about the fact that everything that Jesus has been doing, ladies and gentlemen, is what the Father has been doing. Verse 22 of that same chapter, for the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. You can't honor God without honoring the Son. Simply can't. It's impossible. He come to reveal the Father to us. Listen to John chapter number 6 and verse number 35. Here's what Jesus said unto them. He said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Listen to the verse 38. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Everything he did, ladies and gentlemen, is revealing the will and purpose of the Father according to the words of our Lord. We see it again in John chapter number 8 and verse number 26. In John 8, 26, listen to these words. He said, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. And verse 27 says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. In other words, Jesus is saying that everything that I've said to you has come from the Father. It's the Father's revelation being revealed through the Son. Listen to me. There's a theme here, isn't there? In John 14 and verse number 24, listen to what it says. In John 14 and verse number 24, the Bible says, Jesus said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. The word that our Lord has been speaking is the revelation of the Father that is being given through the Son. Listen to John chapter number 12 and verse 44. Jesus cried and he said, he that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him. This, if you see me, you've seen him that sent me. I'm come as a light into the world, and whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, listen to this, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. The Lord Jesus is saying that everything that he's been saying, the messages that he's been preaching, ladies and gentlemen, is God's message. It is the revelation of the Father that is being revealed through the Son. Listen to what Jesus prayed in his prayer in John 17. John 17 and verse number 6. Jesus said, I have manifested thy name. This is his high priestly prayer. And he said in verse 6, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things, listen to this, that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words that thou gavest me. And they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Jesus is praying. And as he prays, he admits, ladies and gentlemen, to the Father that the words that he has revealed to the followers that have been following him are the words that came from the Father. It is God's revelation that is being revealed through the Son. In the first century, the Jewish people were looking to the scribes and the Pharisees along with all of their teachings and all of their traditions as the source of God's revelation to them. But our Lord has made it clear that God is not revealing himself through the scribes and Pharisees. The person of divine revelation is the Son of God. He's admonishing the people in the cities where he's preached these messages and done these works to turn away from the false teaching of the scribes and Pharisees and to turn to him as the one who is the source of divine revelation. Here in verse 27, Jesus tells us why this is true. The reason why it is true is because of the intimate union between the Father and the Son. He tells us that nobody knows the Son but the Father, and nobody knows the Father but the Son. And in so doing, he is revealing to us the position that he is in. He is, ladies and gentlemen, God the Son. Now listen, God the Son means that he is, and listen, the Jews understood this, saying that I am the Son of God means, ladies and gentlemen, that he is equal with the Father in his deity. Indeed, he's a man, truly man, and yet at the same time, fully God. Just as the Father is God, the Son is God. And ladies and gentlemen, it is true, and not to get into an extended lesson on the nature of God's being, let me just remind you that while God exists, has existed eternally, as Father, Son, and Spirit, these three distinct persons of the Godhead are one in essence. We have one God, existing eternally as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We see the three persons of the Godhead distinct from each other and yet in perfect and complete union with each other as one. And they certainly are in union, complete union, in their revelation to humanity. I know this is hard to comprehend, but it's important for us to know that nobody knows the Father like the Son. They exist in such a perfect union as one that when you see and hear the Son, you are seeing and hearing the Father. Remember what Jesus explained to Philip in John 14? In John chapter number 14, right here in John's gospel, when it was in the upper room and Jesus was talking about going away to that house of many mansions, Philip said to him in verse number 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it suffices us. Show us the Father. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? For he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? There is the revelation of the Son. Did you know what Jesus said in John 10:30? I and my Father are one. Listen to Hebrews chapter number 1. Listen to these important verses in light of what we're seeing here. In Hebrews chapter 1 verse 1, it says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. God spoke through the prophets in the Old Testament. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us, God has, by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the world. Verse number 3, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, Jesus is the perfect representation to humanity of the person of God. And He upholds all things by the word of His power when He has by Himself purged our sins, now set down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. The one sitting at the right hand of the Father, the Son, ladies and gentlemen, is the one who perfectly revealed the divine revelation. There will be no greater revelation than that which is revealed by and through the Son of God. Now one day Jesus met with these disciples in the upper room and He told them, listen, me, the light of the world, I'm getting ready to leave. I'm checking out of this place and I'm going to be gone. And the disciples are sad and they're trying to figure out, how are we going to know? How are we going to know if the Son of God is no longer present among us? Then how are we going to know God? And how are we going to know what the Father is saying? How are we going to know? And so Jesus spoke to them, and here's what He revealed to them in John chapter number 6. Listen to what He said in John 16 and verse number 7. Jesus said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come to you, the Holy Spirit. But if I would depart, I'll send Him, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to you. And when He's come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That is, He'll reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Hang on to that one. And then of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. How are we going to know? How are we going to receive this revelation? How are we going to know who God is when Jesus is gone, after He's gone back to the Father? Jesus said the Spirit of God is going to come and continue this work of revelation. Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send the Spirit to you and He'll continue this work of revelation. He said in verse 12 of John 16, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of Himself. No, no. Whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. He'll show you things to come. He'll glorify Me. He'll receive of Mine and show it unto you. Just as the Son came to reveal, that is, the Father sent the Son to reveal the divine will, even so now the Bible tells us upon the ascension of Christ, He would send the Holy Spirit to continue that work of revelation, to reveal the Word of God, the will of God, the purpose of God revealed by the Son and continue to be revealed by the Holy Spirit. Well, the Bible says here, He'll show you things to come. He'll guide you. Listen, the Bible says in John 14, verses 24 through 26, John 15, 26, that ladies and gentlemen, the Spirit of God will guide you into all truth. He'll remind you of everything that Jesus has said. He'll even show you things that are yet to come. The revelatory work of the Son has been continued now by the Spirit of Christ upon His ascension to the right hand. The Spirit of God operating in our world, revealing our sinfulness, revealing our Savior, revealing divine judgment upon humanity to bring us to the point of repentance and turning to Christ. This work of revelation. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2, and you can see it there. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, beginning at verse number 9, here's that verse that all of us like to quote every once in a while. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. All that God has prepared for us, we can't even understand it all. But did you read the next verse? But God has revealed them to us. Well, that's right. Eye is not seen, nor ear heard, and entered to the heart of man all the things that God has prepared for them to love them. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Did you know the Spirit of God knows the mind of God, the will of God, the purpose of God? He knows everything about God just like the Son does, the Spirit does, and He is continuing this revelatory work, ladies and gentlemen, revealing God to us. The Spirit of God is revealing God the Father and God the Son to all of us. That is, the light of revelation is continuing to shine by means of the Spirit of God. You got the revelation of the Son. You've got the revelation of the Spirit. And ladies and gentlemen, as a result, we have the revelation of the Scriptures. The Son of God, listen, the Son of God is revealed by the Spirit of God through the Word of God. You say, Pastor, I don't understand what you mean. Well, listen to me now. The Spirit of God moved in such a way down through history, ladies and gentlemen, that we have this great revelation called the Word of God. Remember when Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter number 3? He said, Timothy, he said, listen, in the last days, things are going to get worse and worse. Evil men and seducers are going to get worse and worse. And he gives them a whole lengthy conversation about what it's going to be like in the last days. And then after that, he said, but you, Timothy, you continue in the things that you have learned. Even though the last days are going to be difficult, you continue in the things that you have learned and has heard, been taught, that you've been assured of, knowing this. And that is that the Scriptures, that is the things that you've learned, the Bible that you've learned, the Word of God that you have been taught, the Scriptures were able to make you wise unto salvation, the salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. And know this, Timothy, that all of the Scripture is given by inspiration of God. 2 Timothy 3:16. And is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness, that you, Timothy, the man of God, might be thoroughly furnished, prepared, equipped for every good work. When the Bible says there that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that little phrase there, ladies and gentlemen, means that the source of the Scripture is the divine breath. The Greek word that is used there means that God breathed, and as a result, we have the Word of God. The word translated there for breath is the same word also translated Spirit. And rightfully so. And that is, the Spirit of God, the divine breath, moved in such a way that you and I have the Word of God. You say, how is the Spirit of God? I mean, how is it if the Spirit of God is here revealing the will of God, the purpose of God, the Son of God? If the Spirit of God is revealing God to us, then how is He doing that? I mean, He could have done it any way He wanted to, and that is, it could have been on the rays of the sun as the sun's rays come. That is, God could have been speaking in the rays of the sun and revealing Christ and revealing His Word to us in the rays of the sun. But ladies and gentlemen, it's not found in the rays of the sun. It's not found on the clouds that are floating through the air. And that is, the grass that's growing could have cried out as you mow it and said, thus saith the Lord. But it doesn't do that in my house, and I'm assuming it doesn't do it at your house. Then how is it the Spirit of God is doing this work of revelation since the Son of God has been gone? I'll tell you what He did, ladies and gentlemen. He moved in such a way that there were men who wrote, and as they were writing the very words of God. Peter tells us, ladies and gentlemen, the holy men of God, as they spoke, ladies and gentlemen, they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God in 2 Peter chapter number 1. so that we have this sure word of prophecy that is the word of God given to us, not just by men who wrote, but by the Holy Spirit who moved upon them in such a way, divinely inspired, so that we have the word of God. Did you know this Bible is a light for our path? It is. It's a lamp for our path. It's a light for you and I. It's divine revelation. The Bible says it giveth light. It giveth light unto the simple and understanding in Psalm 119, verse 130. The light of Scripture. That's how he operates. Let me show you an example of this. You got a few more moments. Listen to Acts chapter number 8 real quick. Acts chapter number 8. Verse number 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip. Here's what he said. Philip, arise, go towards the south to the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. Hey, Philip. The Lord spoke to him. The angel of the Lord said, I want you to go down to a place, to a deserted area that is in the Gaza desert. I want you to go down there. And the Bible says that's what he did. He arose and went in verse number 27. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship. And this guy was sitting in his chariot. You know what he was reading? Isaiah the prophet. Well, he was reading the Scripture. And the Spirit of God said to Philip, go near. Join yourself to this chariot. And Philip, guided by the Spirit, ran to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the Scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. It's Isaiah 53, isn't it? He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so open he did not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. That is, he was reading that portion from Isaiah 53. And the eunuch answered Philip, and he said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet? That is, he's talking about himself or some other man. And you know what Philip did? He opened his mouth, and he began at the same Scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. Listen to this. This man, ladies and gentlemen, received divine revelation that day. From the Scriptures. That is, the Scriptures that were divinely inspired by the Spirit of God. He learned about the Son of God. He learned about the Son of God through the Word of God, revealed by the Spirit of God. He sure did. Oh, there's a bright light shining down there in the desert, isn't there? There sure is. It's the light of Scripture. The revelation of Scripture given by the Spirit about the Son, explained by a simple man named Philip. And this man, this eunuch, ended up getting saved that very day. The person behind the revelation, oh, it's not the Jewish scribes. Hey, you people of Capernaum, you need to stop listening to the Pharisees. And you need to receive what I'm saying to you. The Son of God has come to reveal the Word of God. After His ascension, He sent the Spirit to continue that work. And the Spirit of God moved in such a way that we have this great book, the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, that are the revelation of God for this day. Now listen. Those who will not hear the Word of God, inspired by the Spirit of God, that revealed to us the Son of God, those who will not hear the Word of God, those who are too wise to hear the Word of God, they're too smart to hear the Word of God, they're too prudent to hear the Word of God, listen to me now, cannot perceive the light. You say, what do you mean they can't perceive the light? Because this is the source of divine light. This is it. Those who will not turn to Christ based on the revelation of the Word of God cannot turn to Christ. Those who will not hear the Word of God cannot and will not be saved. This is the divine revelation. You say, I thought Jesus was. Well, where do you learn about Jesus? In this divinely inspired book. I cannot explain to you how important this book is. The truth of the Word of God. As a matter of fact, it's hard for me to overemphasize how important it is for you, for those who are listening, and some are listening by other means other than sitting in this room, how important it is to hear the Word of God. Stop ignoring the Word of God. Hear what the Spirit of God is saying through the Word of God to your heart. Don't ignore it. Do not reject it. Because all that is left is darkness and judgment. The people of Capernaum, Bethsaida, Chorazin, have nothing to look forward to but divine condemnation and judgment. And the reason why is because the revelation of God was right in front of them, revealed by the Son in their presence. And though they were amazed by what they saw, emotional about what they witnessed, they would not receive the truth that our Lord was revealing to them. They would not repent. There's nothing more important than for you to hear what God's saying to you through His Word. You say, one of these days, God's going to speak to me from the clouds of the sky. No, no, no. You'll wait the rest of your life and it won't happen. You say, one of these days, God's just going to show up in my bedroom in a vision and speak to me. You may wait the rest of your life and not happen. There's a light that is shining. Divine revelation found in the Scriptures, given to us by the Spirit to reveal to us who the Son of God is and the truth that He revealed. This is our revelation. Let's pray. Father, we love You. We thank You for Your Word and Your people and what You're saying to us. And God, how You're working on the inside of us. Will You bless everyone here at every point of need? God, I pray, Father, that You'll move upon the hearts of those that have never been saved and draw them to Yourself and save them by Your grace and for Your glory. And Father, for Your people, that You might strengthen each one of them in the Word of God so we might grow in our understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for being here tonight.